Paris Radio.
Hello, I'm talking into a microphone.
Jack, do you hear me okay? Jack, are you the one that produced the intro music for the nice lady saying full service radio?
That was not me. Good friend of mine. He goes by RecTech.
Does RecTech use recreational drugs?
Funny story. He is a year and 2 months sober.
Congratulations.
Currently.
We could say whatever we want to microphones. It doesn't make it true. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Brave Young Things Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. I am the host of this thing, and I'm the managing editor of Brightest Young Things. Sitting with me is Johnny Grave.
Good morning.
It's noon.
Is it noon?
It's noon. Johnny Grave is a musician. It's noon. It's noon on Thursday, December 14th, Net Neutrality Goodbye Day. We're both very excited about this. We first of all want to thank each and every one of our internet overlords. Thank you, Comcast. Thank you, Xfinity.
Verizon.
Thank you, Verizon. Thank you, RCN. You're good people. You're beautiful people. We'll do whatever you say. Give us those download speeds, baby.
Give me Fastlane.
Anyways, Brightest Young Things is a website, and we cover everything culturally relevant in and around D.C., New York City, and Chicago. Johnny, you are a contributor to that website.
I'm a contributor.
You're also a blues musician, which means you think noon is the morning.
That is true, yes.
And it is, like I said earlier, it is December 14th. The first episode of Brightest Young Things Radio, only four people have heard of, three of them are in this room. That was recorded the week before January 20th, 2017.
Yep.
We both live in Washington, D.C. We've both lived in Washington, D.C. for a while. You're from here. I've been here for 7 years. We discussed the potential of Washington, D.C. changing as a city. I think it has. When in January of 2017, we were joking about welcoming our new Russian overlords. So far, so good.
Yeah, it's going well.
Ovechkin's still having a career year. It's amazing that anyone that old could deliver that well on the ice, number one. Number two, Russia's winning. Good on Russia. And that's why we interviewed Katya, the best drag queen in the world. Anyways.
I read that interview. It was a nice interview.
Thank you. I'm really good at my job. I only respect drag queens. Number one. Number two, our website has changed a little bit. Not nearly as dramatically as I thought we would. We're currently in the line.
There was that wallpaper or tiled up atomic blast.
We'd had the atomic blast for a while.
For a couple of days after election.
Hey, whenever Dennis Rodman decides to stop playing nice with North Korea, we're all doomed.
That's a fair point.
Respect the worm, number 91.
Yes.
These aren't even inside references. They're just references. Anyways.
No.
Johnny, I think the city has changed. We cover similar things. How do you think it's changed? Or has it even changed?
It's changed a lot in some pretty unpredictable ways. I mean, that's kind of the thing that we knew going into this new regime, mm-hmm. this new administration. And a big part of what's happening right now, I think, is that we have somebody in the Oval Office who has no political experience, no political elected office experience, and
hold on one second. What if someone just... Someone that never heard English before, this is the first thing they're listening to. They're like, wait a second. I'm finding this out now. All right, I apologize.
No, I mean, I think the city has changed pretty dramatically as it usually does around the January after an election. Mm-hmm. There's always a big shakeup. There's always a big change. There's always about... a couple thousand people that are either coming in or going out of the mm-hmm. city. So that element of DC has always been in flux, and there will always be a change here. But this change is happening simultaneously to a few other major developments. For instance, the wharf is going into the Southwest. That is a multi-billion-dollar development that's getting propped up out of nowhere. And it's also
for the people listening that don't know what the wharf is or they're not familiar with Washington, D.C., it's one of the only new neighborhoods. It's difficult to have a new neighborhood. So
there is it's a brand new development in a place where there was not a lot of development to begin with.
Okay,
there's been it is different from other developments in D.C. in that they are pretty much starting from the ground floor. However, there's been massive widespread development in D.C. in neighborhoods like Shaw. In neighborhoods like Chinatown 15 years ago, and in neighborhoods like Columbia Heights 20 years ago. So again, change is part of the fabric and the layout of DC forever. However, what's happening, what's different about the change now is the size, scale, and scope. The mayor's office is expecting about an additional million people to be living in D.C. by 2020.
For those listening and don't know, D.C. holds 600,000.
It is a tiny city. We it's are very, very a tiny, small. Tiny town.
It's not nearly as dense as Paris or New York, but it's much more dense than Baltimore,
which
is our nearest city.
Exactly. So D.C. has changed in some pretty significant and noticeable ways, and I also believe that it will continue to change.
Sure. For the good or the bad.
And the size and scale and scope of that change will also increase at the same rate, I think.
We both have connections to the Wharf. Brightest Young Thing's biggest connection is we cover a lot of shows there, mostly at the Anthem. We'll get to that in the Best We Can Bet segment. One of my most interesting things that I've read about the Wharf ever was something that you wrote a few years ago, well before the Wharf had even started construction, and it was all about the fish market at the Wharf.
Yep.
Could you explain what that is? Because it's a fish market, but it's not like a new hip fish market.
Well, it's not. It's it's not a market per se. It's a wharf. So a market implies that there is an actual institution, that there is a building with walls and windows and doors, and there is a somebody in charge of the place, and there's people that stock the shelves. And that's not what the Fisherman's Wharf is. On Main Avenue, the fish market down there is, first of all, it is the oldest continuously operated fish market in the United States. It beats the one in Brooklyn by about 2 years.
It's 18 something?
We're
not going to say it, but we're going to link to this when we post this on BritishLinkThings.com. Every single article that we discuss, there will be links to everything.
Yes. 1806, I want to say.
So it predates the Civil War.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. it's the oldest one in the United States. And what I made mention in this piece a couple of years ago was that the individual fisheries that sell fish at the wharf could be in danger down the line, and I still believe they are. I still believe that there is a risk for some of the small fisheries or some of the small fish vendors in the wharf still selling there. I think it's I think whether or not they will still be there is about 50-50.
Sure.
At this point.
On a somewhat depressing note, but not really depressing note, in addition to the Anthem, another venue there is Pearl Street Warehouse. I had recently gone for the first time, way better than I expected.
It's a great place. I like that
you
place.
You played there.
I have, yeah, twice.
Whatever, I don't care about that. I want to know the story behind the name Pearl Street Warehouse, because I had no idea about this, and you're the one that informed me.
So, in a, I believe it was 18... either 1848 or 1850. It had to be in 1848 because that was before the Homestead Act.
Stop. Pause. This is the first, thus far, only podcast with Young in the title, and we've talked about two things from the 1800s in the first 10 minutes. I apologize. Continue.
That's true. I'm sorry.
I'm super interested in this stuff, and I think the majority of both residents of D.C. or music fans have no idea how this relates. And Pearl Street Warehouse sounds like nothing. It just sounds like three words thrown together. But the actual meaning behind it is not funny in any way whatsoever.
Well, it's actually, I find this to be...
it's a laugh riot.
I find this to be actually a little bit more uplifting than...
it's definitely uplifting,
than the,
yes.
Than certainly the current plight of the wharf and some of the fish vendors down there. On April 15th in 1848, there was an escape attempt corroborated by a bunch of white abolitionists and black freed slaves. There you go. Let's try that again. On April 15th, 1848, Christ. On April 15th, 1848, there was a group of white abolitionists and black freedmen who collaborated on an effort to help some slaves escape from D.C. Now, a few of these slaves were the descendants of the slaves that served the Monroe family when they were in the White House. 1848, slavery is still well and legal and very much thriving in the United States. The abolitionists and the freedmen abscond with a handful of slaves from D.C. Into a boat and go out onto the channel, the Washington Channel, which is the man-made body of water in between the, at that point, what would have been called the Potomac and the Eastern Branch, the Potomac and the Anacostia.
I didn't realize it had a different enunciation.
It did, yeah. the pronunciation for Potomac is only about 80 years old. If you go into certain pockets of West Virginia, you can still hear them say
really?
The words Potomac. Oh yeah, it's hilarious.
This is a laugh riot.
On the map in 1790 for Pierre L'Enfant's plan, it says P O T O M A C K.
Cool.
In George Washington's map, it says P O T O W M A C K. So it's up in the air.
Hey Jack, really quick, are we the most historical podcast?
Yeah, I was going to say so far, yes, you're in the lead.
Yeah, good.
It's because I'm wearing a sweater.
Yeah, both anyway, sweaters, men in sweaters.
Anyway, the boat tries to make its way up to New Jersey, where slavery has been abolished, and it did not make it. It only made it to the mouth of the Potomac down to the bay, where the boat was captured and the slaves were returned to their masters, and the abolitionists were imprisoned until 1850. When slavery was abolished in Washington, D.C., that incident was what led to the abolition of slavery in the District of Columbia. It became a national incident because it was happening on the Washington federal city's doorstep. It became this bit of national news and changed. I think that was one of the turning points for the American public as far as slavery goes, to understand that These are not chattel. These are not property. These are human beings that we're talking about. So the boat was called the Pearl, and the owners of Pearl Street Warehouse, who are also the owners of Cantina Marina, decided that it would be prudent to pay homage to that boat and to that little forgotten piece of history in Washington, D.C., and make it the name of the new venue.
Which is very unique.
It is rather unique, and to see history addressed in those explicit terms, but to see that kind of historical event front and center on display, and to be so open and talking about it, I rather, if that is the trajectory of other endeavors in the wharf, I think it's going to be a very interesting time to see DC grow.
I like that there's a Shake Shack there.
I like that there's a Dolcezza there. I'm not going to lie. There's also a hardware store with a coffee shop built
there's
in.
There's a hardware store there?
There's a hardware store. It's a nice hardware store, and it's got a coffee shop built in. I like that. That's kind of a cool deal. I've always wanted to have a venue with a lesson space and recording studio in the top floor, and then a bottom floor for used books and used bikes.
Well, come to the line. Maybe we can make that happen, people.
This is a beautiful space, by the way. This is a gorgeous.
Stop kissing up. We're already in the space. Okay, so.
That's fair.
Speaking of very, very old sad things and new sad things, there's a brand new Star Wars film.
I'm excited.
Fine, yeah, great. We all are. We have to see a Star Wars. It comes out today. The reason why we're talking about it is because you have specific recommendations of where to see it if you are a certain type of film aficionado or not.
Where you see the movie, I think, matters a whole lot. It's gonna drastically change where you.
Okay, where did you see Episode 7?
I saw episodes. I'm a bit of a proletariat, and I'll get to that in a minute. If you're a nerd, if you're somebody who had all the action figures when you were a kid, and you really want to see every pixelated inch of Leia Organa's face, then for God's sake, go to the Smithsonian American Museum of Air and Space, the Lockheed Martin IMAX Theater. That's the best spot for it. Now, the downside to that is that you'll be surrounded by other nerds and tourists. Mm-hmm. So that's something to bear in mind. However, I bet you're probably going to cheer and scream at the screen. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that'll be a fun thing. If you're on a date, if you're with somebody, especially somebody you want to impress, Georgetown is your best bet.
Why?
Because of how many things you can do outside of the movie theater. They've got an ice rink. They've got a bowling alley. They've got coffee. They've got tons of restaurants.
Most people don't know this. Georgetown's the only neighborhood in Washington, D.C. with coffee options. So.
Yeah, as far as things to do in the immediate vicinity of a movie theater, Georgetown has some of the best options. It's a great spot for a date.
Now, you're not incorrect.
If you're a movie buff, if you're not a huge science fiction nerd, and you're not an obsessive
fanboy. Hold on, I don't think we need to say one of the biggest franchises of all day is science fiction at all. Number one, Star Wars is owned by Disney. Number two, it's worth a bajillion dollars. It's barely nerd.
It's still spaceships.
Barely spaceships.
Think so?
Yes, I know so.
That's fair.
I love it. Okay. I'm a fan. I saw it the first week, I think, the 7, the first week, but like, come on.
I still think there are, much with the Marvel movies too. Marvel has become kind of mainstream.
It's incredibly mainstream.
It's become kind of hokey to be a fan of Thor these days, but there are still two very different camps as far as people who watch those movies. There are people who watch the movies as movies and enjoy the cinematic experience, and like every other red-blooded American, goes out to buy popcorn, soda, and watches a two-hour movie. There are other people who obsess over this stuff.
Yeah, and I work with one of them. His name's Kale. He's one of the bosses at BYT. We talk about this every day.
Yeah, he'll be the first to admit that. He's a huge nerd.
But that's the thing. I don't think he's a nerd anymore. And I don't think super Star Wars fans are nerds anymore.
Is being a nerd mainstream now?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't think you can be... How to be an actual nerd? Be lonely. And not talk to people. That's what a real nerd should be. Not like, oh, I have slightly different interests that won't destroy my brain with CTE. No, it's not. That's what sports do. Therefore, it's totally fine. Everyone that's playing Madden is still going to go see Star Wars, is what I'm saying. The Venn diagram crosses over like 90%.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. As far as the... people who enjoy a cinematic experience.
Yes.
Now that's a very different kind of demographic right there. If you actually enjoy the act of going to a theater, not just watching movies, but going to the theater, Uptown Theater, far and away your best bet.
Okay, why? Because I like seeing movies at the Uptown. It's never perfect.
It's never perfect. No.
A lot of the times the film isn't even in focus.
It's a much more organic kind of experience.
Organic is one word for it.
Yeah.
I love it that it's a single theater. By the way, I want to say that Uptown has the worst booking of any theater in Washington, D.C.
How so?
If you look at what's playing there, it makes no sense. The Avalon, to me, is like perfect D.C. booking. It's just, this is what people in the neighborhood and the surrounding neighborhoods want to see right now. We will change it on the fly. That's why Lady Bird's there forever. That's why Three Billboards have been there forever.
The Uptown Theater only goes with...
Uptown hasn't had Lady Bird. It hasn't had Three Billboards. It has Star Wars, sure. Everyone's going to have Star Wars. But it had like... what's the train movie? The one
Murder in the Orient Express.
It had murder rather than anything people wanted to see. It didn't have Get Out. It didn't have anything that people in Washington D.C. proper want to see.
Uptown Theater is owned by AMC.
Exactly. So it's booked nationally and not locally.
Exactly.
It's the reason why like all the Landmarks are always better programmed than all of the AMCs.
Exactly. But the upside to that is that we still get the Uptown Theater.
Yes, agreed. So I'm glad it's there.
I think the only reason that unfortunately and I work in Cleveland Park quite a bit, so for my neighbors there, I apologize in advance. I think the only reason the Uptown Theater actually still survives as a movie theater is because it is owned by Lowe's. It's owned by AMC. If a major theater chain did not own that building, I don't think it would still survive.
I understand that. I want to play devil's advocate, and I say you give it to somebody like Sons, you give it to like local guys.
Oh, now sure,
that
absolutely.
Are running it.
Oh, certainly yes.
You'll double or triple the attendance on a nightly basis. That has to be enough to do it.
That's only hop, skip, and a jump away from the Line Hotel where we are right now. Have you guys considered maybe
stop
just...
with the plugs?
No, anyway, yeah.
Sons does have a show here.
I know,
spectacular.
Okay. The end.
The only reason, the only downside you're going to have at seeing Star Wars at the Uptown Theater are the lines. You will have to stand in line for the first week of a premiere. That for any time of day, any block you want to get a movie ticket, there's going to be a line outside the door. The upside is that because it is a 750 seat auditorium with a balcony, where you sit won't matter that much.
That's a good point. Did you cry with the first time you saw Seven, or at least tear up?
I didn't. I got really giddy when I saw Mark Hamill throw the hood off.
You didn't have a heavy chest at all during it.
During Rogue One,
Rogue One.
I wept like a baby.
Wait, Rogue One was Seven.
No, Rogue One was
last year.
Was last year? Yeah,
that was too many.
There's no such thing.
Too many Star Wars.
Fantastic, amazing, 2 hour feature length Star Wars.
It's too
films.
Many.
This is great.
Too
I grew
many.
Up with the fucking Ewoks. For God's sake, this is amazing.
What's wrong with that? The things that brought children joy. Yeah, God forbid we like animals. Okay, I know they're not animals, that they're aliens, but whatever. The reason why I wanted to, before we get to Best Weekend Bets, I want to highlight the series that you do. It's one of my favorite things on British Junk Things, and to my knowledge, we're the only ones doing a series like this. It's hidden in plain sight. And sometimes you do things that are legal and you have permission, and then sometimes you don't.
Right.
One of the ones that you didn't have permission for, it really didn't need a reason to run. Like, there was no, like, we got to do some bridge journalism. But, like, you snuck into the Georgetown Bridge because you wanted to sneak into the Georgetown Bridge.
Yes.
And I love this, and it was fascinating to me because if I was, like, not 35, but like 21, I would have been with you. But I got a mortgage, so we're not doing that anymore.
Now, you got under a fence at one point. I brought you underneath a fence down in Georgetown by the water. Yeah, there was a
maybe.
Yeah, there was a hole in the fence. Remember?
There's a difference between a fence and climbing into a bridge. Okay, so you climbed into the bridge.
Yeah, which is not that hard to do. I mean,
I'm not saying it's difficult to do.
There's access points. And the thing, we're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is, that's the massive bridge that goes from Georgetown into Rosslyn.
Francis Scott Key was around in the 1800s or 1700s?
Oh, God.
I wanted to get three 1800s references. I'll look that up while you continue to speak.
Francis Scott Key was a Georgetown lawyer, and the reason one of the reasons it's called the Francis Scott Key Bridge is that the terminus of the bridge ends at the former site of Francis Scott Key's house. That's why the giant flag that stands in the western terminus has 13 stars on it. He was the guy that wrote the Star Spangled Banner during the War of 1812 and 1814.
So he was around the 1800s. We got three.
Yes, yeah, that's three. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well done. Good job. Brandon's obsessive compulsive works in three. Yeah, I climbed into the bridge. The Army Corps of Engineers had a shitty lock on the thing, and it was. I saw that there were access points, and I was curious to see what the inside of the space looked like. And it turns out each one of those pylons that mm-hmm. holds the arches up, each one of those columns is completely hollow. There's nothing in there, of course, except for junk that people have left over the years. I did find blueprints from the Whitehurst Freeway expansion in the 1960s.
Yeah,
which was kind of cool.
Take any of those?
The rule when you are what they call urban spelunking or urban exploring, urbex, mm-hmm. if you will.
All right.
For millennials. Yeah,
we're both millennials. Shut up.
Are we millennials?
I think it's anyone born. It really depends on the definition. It's anyone born after 1980.
After 1980.
And
oh,
then I think before.
I thought it was 85.
Well, see, that's the thing. For some people, it's either way, you're a millennial.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly, yeah. Look at how I'm dressed. We're on the radio. Anyway, the rule is you take nothing but pictures and you leave nothing but footprints. That's the rule. You're supposed to enjoy the space, experience the space, but not disturb the space. And of course, you know, these were construction blueprints that were literally under bits and pieces of broken, rusted out pipe. So I didn't feel too bad about stuffing.
So you had to justify your theft, is what we're doing right now.
I pretty much, yeah, which is more than fine. I already cleared it with Karen Enzer from Gypsy Sally's. She was the one that lent me the trash bag.
So speaking of theft, we're going to transition here to our best weekend bets. Before that, we're going to throw it to Jack. He's going to do a few things. He's going to play whatever the hell he wants, but he's also going to play Andrew Grossman's new Christmas song.
I like that song.
Which is all about theft, because it's a Christmas song.
Pretty much.
Thank you, Jack. Jack, thank you so much for engineering.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Jack.
So this is a Christmas song, clearly, by Andrew Grossman from the great band North Country. And the reason why we're playing it is because he is performing this weekend. And we know everyone that's performing everywhere in Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, and gay Washington, D.C. Because every Thursday from noon to 2 p.m., Bradish Young Things publishes many, many, many picks entitled Best Weekend Bets. So that's how we're going to close every episode of Bryce Young Things Radio with
they're
our
fun.
Best Weekend Bets. Don't be sarcastic like
no,
that.
They're fun. I genuinely mean it. They're fun. I enjoy these.
So this week's Best Weekend Bets theme for the DC edition is The Room, or no, I'm sorry, The Disaster Artist and I, Tanya. So it's equal parts someone playing Tommy Wiseau, equal parts someone playing Tanya Harding. It's very fun.
And 100% James Franco.
It's very stabby. It's very clubby. It's great. And then in Chicago, my favorite edition this week, it's BoJack Horseman, it's Mr. Peanut Butter. The reason being is Dave Foo Fighters are playing Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
And I am convinced that Mr. Peanut Butter is based on Dave Grohl.
That's fair. That's fair.
So we're not going to discuss that anymore. We're going to give our picks. We're going to each give. We're going to give a total of three picks. Johnny's going to give one. I'm going to give two because it's literally my show and I'm the expert.
Pretty much.
And I put these together and it takes a long time and you're going to go fun.
I stay inside a lot.
How many shows did you play out last year?
About 200.
You're a liar. Okay, Thursday night tonight, Thursday, December 14th. What's your pick? What to do tonight?
Wonderland Ballroom.
Wonderland Ballroom.
Yeah, I can't.
You can't. You think there's like a word ethics thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing. I don't care.
Okay.
Wonderland Ballroom is a place where I do my show. You, Me, Them, Everybody. And I've done roughly 100 shows there by now. I've been doing shows there for years. I've recommended shows. I've recommended more than 100 shows. I love Ian Walters' Sunday night jam sessions. And Ian Walters is an avowed Republican, and I'm not. And therefore, we are friends.
He's not devout.
He is devoted.
He's not devout about anything.
He's a devout Republican. And that's okay. The point of this is we could be friends with everybody.
Yeah, actually, yes.
In a bar setting, at least.
Yes.
Okay, so I would have included this, but you're actually playing it, so that's why it's going to be your pick.
Wonderland Ballroom is having Thursday night, December 7th.
14th.
Thank you. Thursday night, December 14th, Wonderland Ballroom is having an ugly sweater party. Highly encourage everyone in the immediate Columbia Heights vicinity to wear their ugliest Christmas sweater. Come out, get drunk, have fun. My band is playing upstairs, which is going to be a lot of fun.
So is it the Tombstones or is it the new three-piece?
It's going to be a four-piece tonight.
Is it the guys I saw at Pearl Street with you or is it
your
band?
Yeah, those guys. Yeah.
I like that transition or that setup. No one knows what we're talking about. Okay,
nope.
So my pick for the night is a free pick, and it's very rare that you could do something for free in Georgetown. It's Georgetown's Glow All Night.
It's pretty.
It's just a chance to see lights.
It's a lot of fun. It's a nice thing. And if you got if there are any Brightest Young Things readers listening or listeners to us right now, this is a great spot for kids. This is a fun one. If you have kids, this is a nice
thing
to do.
And if you need to like look at what it is before, go to the site. We have Franz took some great photos of this thing. Tonight is their like all night edition. So there's like indie carolers and like and bands
carolers.
And stuff. I don't know, whatever. The point is it's going to be fun.
Merry Christmas, I guess.
And because both of these shows are sold out, they're going to count as one pick. Funny person, Chris Fleming is at Black Cat.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I'm mentioning that because we have an interview with Chris Fleming going up next week to preview his Chicago show. And Angel Olsen is at 930 Club. That's also sold out. And moving on to Friday.
If you want a Friday show that's not sold out, Fuzz Queen is playing at Comet Ping Pong with a bunch of other bands. Sasha Lord has been known to book a pretty wide variety of acts at Comet Ping Pong. This one looks to be similarly exciting. To be honest with you, I'm going to be nervous about how the sound is going to play out in a room that is finished with broom concrete.
Whatever. I like Comet Ping Pong. Most people don't realize Comet Ping Pong is a venue. Most people know Comet Ping Pong because of Pizzagate. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah.
So Pizzagate was a real silly thing where someone took a gun into a pizza shop because other parts of the internet exist. Fun fact, one of the people that's going to repeal net neutrality today is a Pizzagater. Full circle, baby!
Thank you,
Verizon. I am completely serious.
Oh, God, of course.
Completely serious. Brightest Young Things was implicated in Pizzagate because we've covered Comet Ping Pong positively for many years. We recommend their shows on a weekly basis. We have a weekly column called Come Early For, which is a really good chance to highlight some newer bands or some local bands. And a lot of those shows happen to be at Comet. We've recommended the Fuzz Queen show because we really like the opener at Comet Ping Pong. Every once in a while, we'll get a fun Pizzagate message. So there you go. full circle.
Still, hasn't that been thoroughly debunked by almost everyone? No?
Facts don't matter. Speaking of facts not mattering, Lil Uzi Vert is at the Anthem on Friday. We really like that show. We recommended that in our Your Best December feature. And it's also the last chance to see the Neon Art Show. So that's two neon picks I got going on.
Yeah.
Saturday, December 16th. What's on your agenda?
Church Night at Black Cat.
Church Night at Black Cat. That's the show that features Andrew Grossman playing his lovely anti-capitalist Christmas song. If you're about to repeal net neutrality, if you want us to be capitalist, we are capitalist. If you want us to be Nazi pizza gators, that's what we are. Just whatever you want, people that control the internet, that's what we want to be. We are completely malleable. Speaking of malleable, Church Night is the hosts of their Church Night Spectacular. Lindsay is a very wonderful person. She goes by what?
Kathy Piatta.
She also has some people on stage with her. Their real life names are Landon, but he's not Landon. He is
Landon Letzkus. Plays a Louisiana Hellfire Baptist preacher named the Reverend Stevedore Maybelline Bidet Esquire.
There you go.
He is a lawyer for cats.
Have you ever used a bidet?
A bidet once. I have.
Where was it?
Yeah, in France.
Cool. My pick for the day part of Saturday is the Transformer Holiday Market and Art Party. I don't think a city is prouder of being a city than D.C. I think D.C. residents love D.C.
Chicago and New York come pretty close.
They come pretty close, but not nearly as much.
Yeah.
And,
because we can't vote here.
That's true. There's a ton of really great makers.
Yes, there are.
Products, art, etc. This is one of those chances to buy a lot of holiday gifts from a bunch of local artists that are unique and different and awesome.
And we're going to see a lot of those around the holiday season. There's going to be a lot of... My Sunday pick is also one of those, is a similar...
I'm not done! Saturday night, my pick is the Gay Men's Chorus of Washington's Christmas show at the Lincoln Theater.
Forgot, sorry.
That's right. Sunday! Now you can talk about nice people.
There's another similar craft event happening at Black Cat on Sunday night. It's the annual Rockin' Shop. There's going to be DJs. There's going to be dozens of vendors. I mean, you're absolutely right that there are a bunch of makers living in DC. And whether that's small craft like this, we're just down the street from Capital Hemp Supply. There's a lot of new people in the cannabis industry working in DC.
I hate you so much right now.
What?
I'm just being
honest
and open.
There's a if you go into Ivy City and you look at the new development that's happening out there, Compass Coffee is setting up not just another coffee bar, like their 18th million coffee bar in DC. They're setting up a giant roastery in DC. They're going to start roasting the beans here in the district. I think you're going to see a lot of craft things pop up around the holidays as far as the fairs go, but I think it's an important thing to keep in mind year round.
So I'm going to say if you're not rich, Black Cat's more your option.
Oh, certainly.
If you have more money to spend on a special someone buying like one nice thing, I'm going to recommend Transformer on Saturday.
That's a wise idea, actually, yeah.
My Sunday night pick is, my Sunday picks are both day picks. There's a plant party.
Where?
The Lemon Collective.
That's adorable.
I just like the fact that they're like, we need to have a plant party, and it needs to have an exclamation point. And
what?
It does. So if you go to the description, it's plant party.
Bring your succulents.
So have fun with that. Readers of Bright Shelf. I'm sure there's multiple people that are like, that's a good option. I'm going to enjoy plants now.
I should invite my girlfriend. She has quite the
See?
Home garden.
See? Something for everyone.
We have a gnat problem we're trying to get rid of, and the neem oil is not working. So yeah, a plant party might be. I swear to God. It is a point of contention and obsession in our household. She is.
Speaking of a gnat party, it's Gnats Winterfest this weekend.
Really?
At the convention center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we going to see any spring preview picks or going
to? No. Okay. And then my final one is the last chance to check out the Winterfest at the Wonder Garden, which is in Noma, which is another one of those neighborhoods that like all of a sudden is a neighborhood that didn't look like that.
Yeah.
Two
that's going to be
ago.
That's going to be curious to see how that grows and changes over the rest of the. The Trump regime here in D.C.
For dozens and dozens of more picks. They're curated picks, too, so we just don't recommend everything. That being said, do you ever go to a show not knowing who's playing?
I used to all the time.
Really?
I haven't in ages, mostly because of just how busy I am these days. But yeah, some friends of mine, Harris Face, mm-hmm. Would do this thing every now and again. He would literally throw a dart at the city paper and just see who's playing that night. Yeah, it's a and that's DC is also similarly because of how proud the city is and how proud they are, how proud DC is of its respective scenes. Uh-huh. A lot of those scenes tend to be really good. So if you do go to a show at a reputable venue on any given night, you're probably going to see at least one really solid band play.
I like your enthusiasm. I wish I shared it. Johnny, you're a wonderful man. You're a good contributor.
Bryce. And you're a curmudgeon, Brandon.
No, I'm open and honest. So that all that's currently available. It went live at noon. If you're looking for gay events, specifically targeted towards the LGBTQ community, we have Gay Best Weekend Bets, New York Weekend Best Weekend Bets, and Chicago Best Weekend Bets. So if you're listening to this not from D.C., it's all right there. Some of the features this week that we've run that I'm very happy about are our food picks. So if you're looking for what to eat, this is definitely the week to check out BritishYoungThings.com. We have our best vegetarian dishes of 2017.
Oh, thank God. Good.
And then for the real people, we have our food roundup by food writers. So this is food writers from across the D.C. region, their favorite dishes, their most disappointing dishes, their most disappointing restaurants, their greatest food finds, all that good stuff. So if you're looking for how do I want to spend my money with things that make me happy to eat, go to BritishYoungThings.com. Today, our 9 a.m. feature was the best movies, our movie superlatives of 2017. Star Wars did not make the cut.
Well, it hasn't been released yet.
Well, our review is currently available on BritishYoungThings.com. I want to thank Jack for doing this. If you want to hear more of Andrew, you could find that song on Brightish Young Things. Our intro music is by Baby Briber. Jack, are you okay to play that Baby Briber on the way out?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Good. I like hearing guitars because I'm a white man in a sweater. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll be back next week. Thank you, Jack. Bye. Thanks, Jack.